Welcome to another inspiring message recorded at Thrive Church, a church passionate about moving people towards Jesus.
Well, hello, church. So good to be with you all today, both in the building, online. So good for us to be together. You can take your seat. So good to be together as a church, and what a time it is to be together, you know? I know, work with me here. I know it's 2021, and like the general mood isn't all that great, and I can read the vibe in the room, you know, the 2021 vibe. But think about it, this really is a great time to be a part of the church. I mean, we just saw from the Mandela Day clip that how all of us gathered together as a church to donate blood, to give sanitary wear, to be able to give food to those who are struggling. You know, there was such an amazing thing that we were able to do together as a church. On top of that, we were also able to be able to donate a bread oven to a community that was desperately in need. So that was an incredible thing that we did as well as a church. The kids' church classrooms are looking amazing and looking great. They're coming alive, like with color each day. Oh, if only you could see like the guys that work there. It's like they're really just doing their thing. Like they're in the zone and just like in the element. that's so brilliant and so great. And also, as you've seen over the last few weeks, the future is bright, which is so awesome to see. You know, Kristen did a great job today and the other guys in the weeks before. And really, there is so much to celebrate as a church, and we are indeed thriving. So isn't that such a great thing? So good. And really, it's my privilege right now to be able to share God's word with us today. And to before I get going with that, I'd just like to thank Pastor Brian and Pastor Candace in their absence for the privilege of being able to do so today. You know, they are on a well-deserved break, as Cole mentioned. But just before we get going, I thought it would be worthwhile for us, really, to encourage us to continue to be a community who always lift our pastors up in prayer. You know, who always just have spare thoughts, spare prayer for them, because really they take on so much to making sure that our church is definitely one that does indeed thrive. So because of that, especially in moments of rest and recuperation, let's continue to pray for them, continue to lift them up, and continue to ask God to do incredible things in their lives so that our church can continue being the church. And with that, won't you please join me in giving them a huge hand for who they are, what they do. Let's show them some honor. You know, it's in the chat, and online, do so as well. What, Pastor Brian, Pastor Candace, we are so thankful for you. We love you and honor you. Let's pray as we get going today. Father, we thank you for who you are in our lives. We thank you for the fact that as the church grows, so our lives grow as well. We thank you, God, that as the church continues to thrive and prosper, so we can expect our lives to follow suit as well. And we thank you, Father, that you are so invested in each and every one of our lives. And as we start today, we pray, God, that you may just continue to speak in our hearts and make your word such revelation to us. May we submit our hearts, may we submit our beings, may we submit everything that you're doing in our lives so that we're able to engage with you in the full and proper way. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Amen. Let me start today by telling you one of the most traumatic days of my life. Christmas, 1999. I was 9 years old. Before I explain the day though, let me just give you some context. In that year, Mnet had just discontinued my beloved Digimon TV show. It was a beautiful cartoon show, which I used to watch religiously at 3 p.m. every day. Two glorious seasons followed up by a movie that was just capped it off brilliantly. Side note. But it was a brilliant show, discontinued, and then they introduced this new show called Cyborgs, which I was at first thinking, I don't know. But then I gave it a chance, and you know what? I was hooked. I was there yet again, 3 p.m. every day. And so much so that I love this show that when Christmas time came and my brother asked me what I wanted for Christmas, you see, he was the middleman between delivering Santa's letters and me actually giving Santa what I wanted to know for Christmas. You know, he asked me, what is it that I wanted for Christmas? And I said, without hesitation, all six cyborg action figures. That's what I want for Christmas. I'm going to take a flyer. I'm going to go for the Jaguar. I'm going to tell Santa exactly where in CNA they're found, bottom left corner in the drawer. That is where I want those six cyborg characters in my life. took a flyer, and I figured out it's worthwhile, you know? Like, I've been pretty good that year. December 1999, throughout the year, I've been pretty good. I've earned my keep. And if Santa was as good as what he had been in other years, then this would be a no-brainer. My brother, he looked at the letter and, like, took a couple of steps back, started scratching his head, and I was like, okay, as he walked away. And that should have been a warning sign for me, because when Christmas morning came about and I woke up, I did not see six neatly wrapped boxes. I did not see six neatly wrapped cyborg characters. What I did see instead was one giant bicycle with a bow on it. I was like, seriously, I cried blue murder that day. I'm like, whose idea was this? I wanted six cyborg action figures. Whose idea was it now to give me a bicycle? And my parents, my siblings, they like had the look of expectation, as you should for somebody who just receives their first bicycle. They're expecting a shrill of joy. Instead, they just saw like agony written all over my face. They're like asking, where are my six cyborg action figures? And right there and then, they told me what you should tell any spoiled brat who've just received their first bicycle: be grateful for your first bike. But all I wanted to know was, what did I do that year for Santa to do me so dirty? Of which my dad replied, yeah, about Santa. Again, Christmas 1999, most traumatic day ever. But here's the thing, church. My parents were committed to getting me a gift that year. They were committed to getting me a good gift, a perfect gift for that season. And I was expecting the same thing. However, there was a huge disconnect between what I thought was a good and perfect gift with my limited understanding and wisdom to what they knew was a good and perfect gift based on their greater wisdom and foresight. And here I am today, absolutely grateful that my parents did get me that bike, because I eventually did learn how to ride it. I eventually enjoyed it, and it eventually became a hobby that I loved. But right there and then, I didn't see it as a good and perfect gift, but they did see it as a good and perfect gift for me in that time. And again, I'm so grateful that they got me that instead of six action figures of a discontinued show that no one remembers today. Quick social experiment. Who remembers cyborgs? Hey, one person. That's one out of like two so far. Okay. Who's ever heard of it? Hey, okay. Cool. All of three of us. which is my point exactly. You know, my parents knew how to get me a good and perfect gift for the season. And you know what, church? Our Heavenly Father does the same thing in our lives. He knows, with his greater foresight and his greater understanding, what the good and perfect gift is for our lives. In any season, in every season, he knows that we are constantly in need of his Holy Spirit. As Pastor Byron mentioned, today we kick off our brand new sermon series called Thin Places, which I'm absolutely thrilled about, because this is a series all about where the Holy Spirit meets us. It's us understanding that in the everyday activities of our lives and the everyday moments of our lives, we get to see the Holy Spirit at work, living and moving in our lives. And this is great for us to know, because there are two very important things about this that we're going to see both today and in the weeks to come. And the first thing is that the Holy Spirit is the thin place in our lives. He is the thin place. He is the one who makes the reality of God's kingdom a thing that happens in our lives, a present reality in our lives. It is the Holy Spirit that makes it possible, God's presence living in us. And the second thing that we see when it comes to thin places is that the Holy Spirit leads us into thin places. He leads us into those special and divine moments where heaven and earth meet. Moments like when you have a conversation with somebody that becomes so life-changing and so life-giving that we didn't expect originally when stepping into the conversation, but at the end of it, you kind of realize, yes, in this moment, heaven and earth met. The Holy Spirit was present. Moments like when you see the look on somebody's face when you give them something extraordinary that they weren't expecting, when you bless them with something that they weren't expecting, and in that moment, it becomes a thin place. Just yesterday, I gave some money to a car guard, and he said back to me, "May God bless you for blessing me." thin place heaven and earth meets. And it's the Holy Spirit that's making those moments and orchestrating those moments in our lives. So again, from this series, what we begin to see is that the Holy Spirit is a thin place, and also he leads us into thin places. So all the while in our lives, the Holy Spirit is a thin place, and he leads us into thin places. And that's what this series is all about. And again, just so excited about it. And what you're going to see today is how the Holy Spirit, our thin place, is indeed our good and perfect gift. And we first seen this idea of the Holy Spirit being a good and perfect gift in Luke 11, where Jesus brings it out and Jesus introduces it himself. You know, in Luke 11, the disciples are kind of tracking Jesus' prayer record, and they saw like how he's just acing his prayers one after the other. Like, yes, like these are like A-grade prayers. We don't pray A-grade prayers, F-grade at best. So they say to Jesus, we need your help. How is it that we can pray like you pray? And Jesus goes on to explain to them and give them a model on how it is that they can pray. But he decides to take the opportunity to go one step further and explain how is it that they can also be persistent in prayer. So after giving them the explanation of how to pray and after showing them why it's important to be persistent in prayer, he says these crucial verses and these memorable verses in Luke 11, verses 9 to 13. He says, and so I tell you, keep on asking and you will receive what you ask for. Keep on seeking and you will find. Keep on knocking and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks, receives. Everyone who seeks, finds. And to everyone who knocks, the door will be opened. You fathers, if your children ask for a fish, do you give them a snake instead? Or if they ask for an egg, do you give them a scorpion? Some of you are like, oh, I don't know, it depends on the situation. Of course not. So if you sinful people know how to give good gifts to your children, bicycles that are right for the season, how much more will your heavenly Father give the gift of the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This passage gets me every time because when I hear those words, I assume Jesus is going to say, because you know how to give good gifts to your children, your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to you. As in, because you know how to give your children a chocolate when they ask for a chocolate, your heavenly Father knows how to give you financial security whenever you ask for it. He knows how to give you peace in your relationships whenever you ask for it. He knows how to give you endless peace and not a single conflict in your marriage whenever you ask for it. That's what we expect Jesus to say. No, we expect him to say, because you know how to give good gifts to your children, your heavenly Father knows how to give good gifts to you. However, the disconnect, like 9-year-old me experienced, is that what we think is a good and perfect gift is miles apart from what our heavenly Father and his great wisdom and his great foresight knows to be a good and perfect gift. And so instead of providing us neatly wrapped cyborgs of material wealth and success and good times all the time, our Heavenly Father provides us with a gift that is good for us for any single season. And he provides himself in spirit form. He gift wraps himself in the presence of his Holy Spirit. And that is always a good and perfect gift in our lives. So the assumption that Jesus is working with here is that the Holy Spirit is a good and perfect gift that a good and perfect Father would provide. And so that is why God has always, in every single season of our lives, he's always providing us with the good and perfect gift of his Holy Spirit. So now the most logical follow-up question has to be, it just has to be, why is the Holy Spirit a good and perfect gift? Why are we promised a bicycle when all we want are cyborgs? Why are we promised the Holy Spirit when all we want is for us to avoid retrenchment? Why are we promised the Holy Spirit when all we want is for our family member who is on a ventilator to come back home safely and fully recovered? Why are we promised the Holy Spirit when all we want is for this ridiculous season to end? We are promised the Holy Spirit in every single season of our lives because our good and perfect Father knows that in every single season of our lives, the Holy Spirit does one all-important, all-incredible thing that we all need in every season of our lives. Every season, whether with much or with little, whether very healthy or on death's bed, whether with financial blessings that are beyond measure or trying to avoid retrenchment, whether with every great relationship possible or just struggling to keep your mind together while being isolated, our Heavenly Father knows that in any one of the seasons of our lives, we need the good and perfect gift of the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit does one incredible thing that we all need Him to do. And the Holy Spirit does this. He reveals the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives. The Holy Spirit reveals the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives. Not the titles of Jesus, as in God, Savior, King, Lord. The person of Jesus, His nature, His character, faithful, patient, comforting, friend, relentless, all the attributes of His personhood. So when we say that the Holy Spirit reveals the person of Jesus in every activity of our lives, what we are saying is that in every single activity, in every single thing that happens in our lives, the Holy Spirit is revealing the person of Jesus, the truths about Jesus that we ought to be knowing, the things about Jesus that we ought to be noticing and seeing, so that we don't miss them and we don't miss track of what He is doing in our lives, and we don't miss track of an opportunity to celebrate. So the Holy Spirit is always revealing the person of Jesus in every single activity in our lives. In the joyful activities where you just want to pop champagne and just like spray it on everyone because you're just celebrating so much. In the chaotic activities in our lives where just finding your keys is just like a miracle and a win. Now, just the other day, the first service judged me, so I'm assuming this service won't judge. And just the other day, Amy and I slept with our front door and front gate open completely, and only realized the next morning, like, well, the curtains were moving. Like, huh, I wonder why that's the case. Chaotic. And the Holy Spirit also wants to reveal the person of Jesus to us in the mundane things as well. The things that happen every day, the road things that we just do over and over again. It's in those moments, it's in those activities that the Holy Spirit wants to show us, reveal to us who Jesus is in our lives, and draw a direct link between the things that we're doing in our lives to the person of Jesus Himself. And Jesus said this would happen in John 14, verses 16 to 17. So while speaking to His disciples about and giving them the inside scoop of what was going to happen after His death and resurrection, He begins to tell them to be accustomed to the thin places that were going to happen in and around their lives, because the Holy Spirit was about to reside in them, was about to live in them. And because of that, the Holy Spirit was about to create the thin places connecting what's happening on earth to what's happening in heaven as well. So He says this, and He tells them this in verse 16, and He tells it to us as well. I will ask the Father, and He will give you another helper who will stay with you forever. Again, a thin place connecting what's happening here on earth to what's happening in heaven. He is the Holy Spirit who reveals. Everyone say reveal. Reveal. Even online. Oh, we'll wait for you. Reveals. There we go. He reveals the truth about God. You know, all throughout Scripture, we learn and we see that knowing the truth about God is equal to knowing the person of Jesus. Jesus Himself even says in John 14 that He is the way, the truth, and the life. So since knowing the truth about God is knowing the person of Jesus, the Holy Spirit comes into our lives and He reveals the person of Jesus in our lives. And He doesn't do this by doing dramatic flares of demonstrations, like having a message written on the sky and what you should do next, or making water like suspend in the air and showing you in an arrow form which direction you should go next, or like pointing who you should date next. No, He doesn't do things like that. What He does do, though, is that firstly, He uses His word. He uses God's word, Spirit-breathed word, to show us the person of Jesus. But then He also uses the activities of our lives, the things that are challenging us, the mundane things that we just do over and over, you know, taking kids to school, pulling together emails, puffing up for meetings, you know, like whatever it is. The Holy Spirit just reveals the person of Jesus in those moments, and of course, the moments that we are celebrating as well. So in every moment, the Holy Spirit is constantly revealing the person of Jesus in our lives. So, if the Holy Spirit is constantly doing that and showing us who Jesus is, this means that when you feel brokenhearted because of a relationship that fell short, the Holy Spirit reveals the person of Jesus who is close to the brokenhearted. When you experience wealth, blessings, and success, and you're tempted to do things out of pride and make the next decisions out of pride, thinking, I got this, instead of leaving us in that place, the Holy Spirit reveals the person of Jesus to us. And he shows us the person of Jesus who didn't cling onto his own blessings when he had them, but rather opened his life up so that he could serve others. The Holy Spirit reveals the person of Jesus to us when, even in moments where we feel helpless and guilt-ridden because of sin. He reveals the person of Jesus by showing us that Jesus is the one who does not hold on to our condemnation and he does not hold on to our gift, but instead provides a way for us to have an open and honest relationship with him that is life-giving always. So the Holy Spirit, our good and perfect gift, is in the business of revealing the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives. He is in the business of creating a direct link between what we are doing here on earth to who Jesus is every day, constantly in our lives. I love how the late theologian J.I. Packer explains this. He says, the Spirit's message is never, look at me, listen to me, come to me, get to know me, but always look at Jesus and see his glory. Listen to him and hear his words. Go to him and have life. Get to know him and taste his gift of joy and peace. It's the Holy Spirit that makes Jesus more real, more tangible, and more incredible in our lives. And on a similar note, Dr. Tim Keller puts it this way. The Spirit is the matchmaker, the celestial broker, whose role is to bring us and Christ together and to ensure that we stay together. And like we've been discovering, he ensures that we stay together by revealing the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives. So how does this look like for you? What are the activities that are happening in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal the person of Jesus through? Similar to what Kristen mentioned earlier, these need to be assessed. Just as our foundations need to be assessed, the activities of our lives also need to be assessed as well. So again, what are the activities in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus through? Could it be your inconsistent behavior with loved ones, where you're on cloud nine with them one day, but then the next day you're like putting up Berlin walls up just to like get them away from you? Could it be your attempts to always have the last word or your need for perfection or control? Or hey, maybe it's your ability, your amazing ability to be able to celebrate and to see the good in all the things that are happening in your life. That's a good thing. And imagine being able to see the person of Jesus revealed in moments like that or in any other moment of celebration. But the question still stands, what are the activities in your life that the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus through? Let's assess them. Let's track them so that we don't miss out on what the Holy Spirit is wanting to do in and through our lives. Because it's in those places that the good and perfect gift reveals the person of Jesus to us. So now that we know what he does, that he reveals the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives, how is it that he actually does do it in our lives? Not on a conceptual level, but like in reality, really, how does he reveal the person of Jesus in the activity of our lives? Like in our busy Joburg lives, we're in the middle of the hustle and bustle of everything that's happening around us. Is it something that we just have to like stop, pause, and like consider? Or is it something that he just does while we're living our lives and while we're doing everything in our lives? You know, it's an important question to ask ourselves and to consider. And it's something that I kind of figured out and I kind of think can help us. by sharing a story that happened to Amy and I a while ago. You know, a few months ago, we were just working from home and just doing like the home remote work vibe thing, you know, like we've all been doing over the last little while. You know, and while we were doing that, you know, our landlord came over to the front door of our house with like urgency written all over her face. She like came in, like started banging. We were like, "Whoa, what's wrong?" You know, and she came in and she told us that all along our back wall was a stream of water that was caused by a leak that was happening inside our place. So in order for our water bill not to be off the charts in the months to come, we needed to sort this thing out. We looked at her like anything short of like grabbing her feet like this. We were like, "You are a gift to us right now." You know, we were just so appreciative. Like, what must we do? You know, because we knew that just like it, like we would have been crying at the end of the month if we had gotten a water bill, if that was the case, you know? So we kind of like asked her, what must we do? And what she said next is what I am convinced the Holy Spirit says to us whenever it comes to the moment of Him wanting to reveal the person of Jesus in our lives. She simply said this, "Can I come in and have a look from the inside? Can I come in and have a look from the inside?" Can the Holy Spirit come into your life and have a look at your relational situations from the inside? Can the Holy Spirit come into your life and have a look at your financial stresses from the inside? Can the Holy Spirit come in and have a look at your spiritual health from the inside? Can He come in and have a look from the inside? You know, let's remember what Jesus said in John 14, verse 16. "I will ask the Father and He will give you another helper who will stay with you forever." Two powerful things here. Firstly, is that the Holy Spirit, like Jesus, is a helper, not an insurgent who bulldozes, but a helper, somebody who comes in when called upon and who assists and who does the full work well. Like Jesus did when He healed the sick, when He cleansed the broken, when He gave voice to the marginalized, the Holy Spirit comes in and He helps. He comes in and He asks. He doesn't bulldoze. He asks, "Can I come in and have a look from the inside?" And the second thing that we see is that He stays with us. And like any good help, a surgeon, a consultant, a landlord, He comes in and does His best work from the inside. Not on top, not over, not above board, but inside. That's where He does His best work. So can He come into your life? Can He come into my life and have a look from the inside? So as we draw to a close today, can I encourage us to respond well to His question? Can I encourage us to always respond well whenever He asks if He can come into our lives and have a look from the inside? We respond well when we don't like cry blue murder whenever He asks the question and say, "No, I don't even want to know what's inside. Don't you? I don't want you to know as well," you know? We respond well when we give Him with wide open arms a big resounding yes. Yes. Can I come in and have a look on the inside? Yes. Can I come in and have a look at how you interact with your child on the way to school? Yes. Can I have a look and have a look on the inside on how it is that you go into that meeting this week? Yes. Can I come in and have a look from the inside? Yes. And the more we say yes, is the more times that the person of Jesus is revealed in our lives, which means it's the more times we begin to look more like Jesus. It means that with every time we say yes, it means we become more loving, we become more kind, we become more faithful, we become more persistent, we become more resilient, we become more bold, we become more ambitious, we become more of who Jesus is. Why? Because He has come into our lives and the Holy Spirit is having a look from the inside and revealing who Jesus really is. Not just the titles, but His nature and character. And this happens every single time we say a verbal yes to the Holy Spirit's request of, "Can He come in and have a look from the inside?" So to recap, the Holy Spirit, our thin place, is our good and perfect gift. The one who reveals the person of Jesus in the activities of our lives, and that is every single activity, the good, the bad, the ugly, the challenging, the mundane, the celebratory. He does this by asking if he can come into our lives as a helper and have a look at our activities from the inside. And we respond best to his question by saying yes. And the more times we say yes, the more times we begin to look like Jesus. Now, I started today by explaining one of the most traumatic days of my life. Traumatic. But I'd like to close today by explaining the most important day of my life, genuinely speaking. And it happened when I was in grade 8. And in the early days of my grade 8 year, I started being involved in the Christian meetings that were happening in our school. They used to happen about twice or so a week. And I used to be there and be a part of it, so much so that I was beginning to have a newfound love for God and a newfound love for reading his word. And to the extent that even on holidays, I was starting to read my Bible, which was like unheard of for 13-year-old me. It's like, what? A book on holiday? What? You know, like, but I had to get like the Bible that had like pictures in it. So like if I read Jesus healed the blind, I needed to see the picture of Jesus healing the blind. It's like, oh, okay, deaf, okay, deaf. You know, so that's like the kind of thing that I used to do. But my newfound love for God in early April started to take on a different shape and started to take on a different light. It started to look a little more like tragedy, because when I was reading the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 5, I was beginning to see that the Holy Spirit, or at least God, was revealing to me that I needed to sacrifice. And I knew immediately what he was asking 13-year-old me to sacrifice, because it was what was most important to me, TV. I was like, how dare you? I've known you for 4 months, touch and go, and you are already telling me to give up TV. Who are you, you know? Like, I was getting into that mode already. And the more and more, like, I was realizing it, is the more I realized that the reason why I was feeling this way was because TV wasn't just a block that had, like, moving visuals on it for me. No, it was the number one bonding agent between me and my older brother. You see, we used to watch movies, like classic movies, all day, every day. You know, classic movies like Casablanca, or The Treasure of the Sierra Madre, or The Godfather, Legends of the Fall, classics. Like, we used to be there, watch them, and dissect them like as much as possible. We used to just really just share what we enjoyed most about them. So for me, giving up TV felt like God was saying to me, at least in my mind and in my heart, it felt like he was saying that I should stop connecting with my brother as often. And as much as I was beginning to love Jesus, this I couldn't do. But by God's grace and God's grace alone, the Holy Spirit had started working in the inside of my life. He had already started coming in and having a look from the inside. And he was already showing me glimpses of Jesus in the activities of my life. So much so that even though I didn't give up or make the commitment that he was asking me to, I was still committed to being a part of what he was doing, and he still kept showing up in my life. And towards the end of April, in the first meeting back after the holidays, we're back at school, our youth leader, Clark, was playing his guitar at our next meeting, which he often did when he was leading worship in a small common room with a few of us there. And he made this simple call, which was the first that he had made this year. And he had said that if you want to follow Jesus fully, what you have to do is you have to allow him to be your Lord, your Savior, and your friend. You have to commit to him so that you can follow him more fully. And I remember with my eyes closed and my arms lifted up in that worship moment, whispering words that have changed my life forever. I remember whispering, what could possibly be better than this? This is worth giving up TV for. This is worth giving up everything for. And on the 19th of April at 9:37 in the evening, remember it as clear as anything, I gave my life to Christ. And again, by God's grace and God's grace alone, I have not looked back. But here's the thing, church. A 13-year-old cannot make a decision of such eternal magnitude on his own. It is impossible. It will always take a good and perfect gift of the Holy Spirit, making that a reality. It will always take the Holy Spirit revealing himself or revealing Jesus in what I was doing, in what I was thinking, and what I was believing. And so it should be. We cannot make decisions of eternal magnitude on our own. It will always take the Holy Spirit revealing the person of Jesus and what we are doing, what we are thinking, what we are believing. It will always take the good and perfect gift revealing Jesus in every activity of our lives. And when that happens, we begin to draw closer to him and we begin to look a lot more like Jesus. And the thin places are created in our lives that we desperately need. And right now, I feel that there are many of us, if not all of us, both here in the building and online, who just need to commit our lives afresh to the Holy Spirit's power in our lives. Who need to respond afresh with one big resounding yes in our hearts and verbally with our mouths to his question, can I come in and have a look from the inside? What are you celebrating right now? What's challenging you right now? What's the mundane that you disregard right now? Can the Holy Spirit come into that and have a look from the inside? So as a church community, let's say yes. Let's say yes in the chat. Let's say yes with our voices. Let's say yes with all that we have to the Holy Spirit's request. Because that's when we begin to see Jesus revealed in our lives. Not just his titles, which we're all so familiar with, but the person of Jesus, his nature, his character. And that will change us to look more like him every single day. And you know, that's not the only invitation that the Holy Spirit is offering today. For some of us here, this may have been the first time we've been made aware of the importance of Jesus in our lives. It may be the first time you've been made aware of how important it is to have Jesus revealed in your heart and in your life. And if that's you, this moment is especially for you, because this moment, the Holy Spirit wants to reveal Jesus to you so that you can see him as your Lord, your Savior, and your friend. And again, if that's you, we would love to pray with you and pray for you. And we would love to take a moment right now to invite you to accept the incredible invitation the Holy Spirit's offering you right now. It's an opportunity for you to be able to receive him anew and receive him afresh. Maybe it's the first time you're making this decision, or maybe it's a decision that you've made always. But either way, a decision to follow Jesus is the most incredible and best decision that you can make in your life. So if that is you right now, again, we'd love to pray with you and for you. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you. We thank you for coming into our lives and coming into our hearts and for dying on the cross for us and for raising yourself up, or for allowing the Holy Spirit to raise you up 3 days later. We thank you for this incredible thing that has happened in our lives, because this has made it possible for each and every one of us to be able to come before you right now and recognize the importance of the Holy Spirit, but most importantly, to recognize the importance of you and your sacrifice and your life. So please, Lord, forgive me of my sins. Help me to live following you more personally. Help me to live with you at the center of my life, in the center of my heart. And help me to live more readily available to allow the Holy Spirit to come into my life and have a look from the inside. Help us, Lord. Help me, Lord. In your mighty and powerful name, Lord Jesus, we pray. Amen. If you made that decision today, we are celebrating you and we are congratulating you. It is the best decision that you could have ever made.
We hope you have been blessed and helped by this message. For more information about our church, visit our website at www.thrivechurch.co.za.